Homecoming Sunday witnessed an eruption of energy as we heard from all our ministries, which, let me tell you, was no mean feat. It's very impressive when we see the vibrancy of community life captured in one place and at one time. And during the coffee hour, the Great Hall was abuzz with enthusiasm, as many motivated by the presentations signed up for various ministry teams, areas of concern that align with their interests and passions. Due to a microphone crisis just before the service, I want to apologize if you found it hard to hear some of what was being said in the presentations. On Sunday, the Gospel was Matthew chapter 18, 15 to 20, and this is a difficult passage about how to settle differences within church life. And the passage at first reading seems to sanction peer pressure and officially sanction scapegoating, both, unfortunately, practices that remain all too familiar in many religious communities and traditions. And the point of the reading suggests that we are responsible to one another. And for individual Americans, this is not an easy proposition. In my sermon blog entitled Belonging Together, which is a play of words on together and together, I suggested reading the line as we are responsible for one another. And I take Jesus to mean that within community, we are to be accountable for one another. And this means looking out for one another. Sometimes, looking out for one another involves addressing behaviors that are harmful to relationships. Sometimes, looking out for one another makes it necessary to challenge someone when, if left unchallenged, their behavior might endanger the stability of the community. And you can read more at the sermon blog site Relational Realities, and there's a link appearing in the text of the epistle that accompanies this podcast. This week we'll hear from Paul writing in his letter to the Romans at chapter 14. Here he says that the purpose of community is not to quarrel over opinions, but to abstain from passing judgments. Easier said than done, Paul. But I imagine that he knew only too well how difficult it is to do this. And in our contemporary context, I think what this means is that when we experience others holding their opinions aggressively or contemptuously or just plain fearfully, the best response is to quietly yet firmly resist being bullied or belittled without giving back in kind. Paul reminds us that we each owe a higher duty of accountability to God for our treatment of one another. We seem to be living through a time when it feels like the suffering of others in the nation and around the world is all too much to bear. We easily identify with fellow citizens whose lives and livelihoods have been threatened through events that signal unprecedented change in the climate. Fires, floods, winds, and earthquakes. Houses and neighborhoods have been leveled or flooded. Jobs and livelihoods now put in jeopardy. Precious objects that record lives lived, now forever lost. We're led to utter the sigh, "There but for the grace of God go I." And other events, though terrible to witness, have less personal impact on us. I'm thinking of the terrible plight of yet another people, in this case the Rohingya, who are the victims of the latest round of vicious racial and religious ethnic cleansing. And thinking of that, this last week, on Thursday, we commemorated Holy Cross Day. And in the image of the man hanging on the cross, we behold God's suffering identification with the suffering of all humanity. The cross is a homeopathic symbol, a homeopathic remedy, and that it employs suffering to heal suffering. And through our identifying with the suffering that enters into our own lives, through the 24/7 news cycle, we participate in God's ongoing work of healing and reconciliation. So on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, September the 19th at 5:30 p.m., we will hold the first of what will be a monthly healing service. And this might be an opportunity to connect our personal or vicarious suffering with a prayerful action. Healing is hardly ever a one-off miracle. Healing is more usually a process whereby our way of experiencing pain and suffering is transformed into something productive for life. We approach healing for ourselves, for loved ones, for the needs of others whom we don't know personally, and of course for the state of the world. And identifying with our own or another's suffering leads us to identify with a longed-for healing for self, others, and the world. And so, my friends, I look forward to seeing you in church this Sunday.